Again, Medical Education Podcast listeners, this is Kevin Eva, the editor-in-chief of the journal. Today I'm traveling to Italy as I have the wonderful opportunity to speak with Valentina Colonello, who's a postdoc at the University of Bologna in the Department of Experimental Diagnostic and Specialty Medicine, and we'll be talking about a paper that she and her co-authors have coming out in the February 2019 issue of Medical Education, titled Emotion Recognition in Medical Students, Facial Appearance and Care Schema Activation. Thank you, Valentina, for taking the time out of your day to chat.
Oh, thank you. My pleasure.
Pleasure's mine. I'm actually quite excited about this conversation, as I was just saying, because it's a fairly unique focus and unusual for us in medical education to see an experimental study looking at things like emotional recognition. So I'll just maybe preface our conversation by telling our listeners that the paper contains two experimental studies, but in order to get into some of the details about what you looked at and what you found, there are a few concepts that I think might be important for me to ask you to clarify.
Yeah, absolutely. So we are a group of psychologists, so in a medicine department that is quite unique, at least here in Italy. And actually, back in the 60s, Professor Canestrari started to bridge psychology with medicine. And within this tradition here, we try to investigate the factors that can facilitate or, in case, interfere with medical students' ability to understand the patient and really to care for them. So at this point, in this perspective, is a challenge for medical education to try and understand the ability of medical students to recognize emotions and to catch their own resources, their own abilities, since the first years of their education, and how we can use these resources to help them to improve even this natural ability.
Recognizing that many of our listeners won't be psychologists, let me ask you to go back and clarify a few of the concepts that you're describing. So first one is facial appearance bias. What do you mean by that?
Okay, so basically there are studies of Todorov or in our group also by Matarazzi showing that the appearance of the face can influence, of course, our behavior, our tendency, motivation to approach or to avoid a person. And so the face is, for example, a more trustworthy face can induce more on approach behavior. Faces that are perceived as untrustworthy can induce more avoidance behavior. Mm-hmm. And that is quite some simple approach avoidance and motivation that is not really cognitive. It's something that is really also go back in the evolution. And so that what we have seen, that of course also in medical student, this kind of factor can influence, can affect emotional recognition.
Okay, so people are generally more able to recognize the emotions displayed on faces that are considered to be trustworthy relative to those that are considered to be untrustworthy. And how do you determine whether a face is trustworthy or not in terms of having experimental control over that sort of variable?
Okay, so there are studies showing that there are specific facial features that make a face generally perceived as more trustworthy or more untrustworthy. For example, a baby face is perceived as more trustworthy as a face showing more male-like traits. So there are specific features of the face that can induce this kind of impression.
Right. Okay, so then just based on those features, with no other background information, that sets a predisposition for individuals in that they better recognize emotions in the faces that have those features. And so how does one define emotion recognition in a study like this? So how do we know whether or not people are able to recognize the emotions effectively?
Here we use the classic emotion recognition task. So that means that the participants viewed neutral faces that gradually and continuously show the specific emotion, so positive one and negative one, and their task was to stop the video with the morphing of the face, and so the display of emotion, as soon as they recognized the emotion. And then they were asked to indicate what kind of emotion they were able to see. So each participant was able to see several expressions of emotion from a neutral face to a specific emotion, and their task was just to identify the emotion and to recognize it. And so this is what our participants, in particular medical students, did during the first study. And we have seen that more trustworthy is the face, faster is the recognition of emotion, and even more accurate. So there is a bias.
Yeah, so it's not just that they are more likely to recognize it, but they recognize it more quickly when the faces appear to be trustworthy. And that establishes the basic phenomenon that you were trying to examine, that there is apparently a facial appearance bias in these medical students. Why did you believe that activation of a caregiving schema would eliminate that bias, or at least reduce it? And in answering, I'll just ask you again to clarify a little bit more what you mean by activating a caregiving schema.
Yeah, sure. The basic point is that with our experience also with medical students is that the first motivation medical students is caring, is help, is to take care of patients. And so there is a basic emotional system in our mammalian brain that is the care system, that is a tool provided by evolution for caring for others. Now, of course, it's possible that activating this system, that is a natural resource before the learning of specific techniques, is associated with also a technique of improving a sort of self-confidence and positive affect in students that can help to improve their own also self-confidence and then recognize others even if they appear untrustworthy. Even if they are not perceived as so friendly or so positive for an interaction. So the basic idea is that by detecting and by finding, identifying the resources, in particular the caring resources of the students, it's possible to facilitate the social interaction. And the first step of the social interaction and the first step of caring for patient is the ability to recognize the perspective of the patient, so patient emotions. So the basic point is that if we want to help medical students, or if we want to provide something to medical students to really satisfy their own wish to help others, to care for others, we have to stay in this kind of game and try to help them to use their own resources. And the first resources is this care system.
Great. So the intervention that you ran these students through, which is described in more detail in the paper, doesn't seem to have eliminated the difference between trustworthy and untrustworthy faces in terms of students' capacity to recognize emotions, but they got better on both types of faces, which is, again, even if the bias remains, at least these things are improving for everyone, which is obviously a very positive outcome. How would you recommend that people translate the intervention that you were able to develop in the lab to show that effect into the real world? How do we help medical students in their day-to-day lives on the ward remain in the headspace that allows them to recognize emotions better?
Well, I think it's very important, first of all, to use this kind of studies and to show this kind of study and this data also to the students. So the first step is the awareness. So most of the medical students are not really aware of this kind of implicit bias. And as you absolutely said, or even this technique, it was not enough to eliminate this kind of bias, but was still helping in some way to improve the general emotional recognition ability. So the first step is how we can really use this kind of data concrete is to increase the awareness of students about their own abilities, so their emotion recognition abilities, their abilities to rely on their own resources, in particular, for example, the care system, and to be aware of their own bias. So this is the first step that we are going through. And of course, then can be even used, especially in the first years of education, to help students to face even their own limits in some way, even their difficulties. Of course, in this study, we used a mental imagery technique. And of course, we have also to say that the mental imagery technique has a lot of advantage, but of course, it's not an easy task for all. So it's not everybody able to go through a mental imagery to face this task. So it's quite important also to consider that for future studies.
Yeah, and it sounds like with your postdoctoral position and this unique arrangement of a psychology group having been embedded within the medical school at your university, that there will be many opportunities for such studies to come.
Yeah, indeed, we are now just finished to run a new study, also with medical students, and absolutely in this going in this direction to really investigate what factors and how it's important to really make the emotions of the medical students at the center of the medical education, and of course also to give them the possibility to appreciate how it's important and is valuable to consider and to accept and engage with patients. So the next studies are absolutely going exactly in this direction.
I look forward to seeing how those turn out, and congratulate you on this interesting and very promising line of research.
Oh, many thanks. And absolutely. Look forward also to the next step.
Yeah, well, good luck. And I'll just wrap up by reminding our listeners that the paper we've been talking about is titled Emotion Recognition in Medical Students, Facial Appearance and Care Schema Activation. You'll find it in the February 2019 issue of Medical Education. And the other voice you've been hearing is Valentina Colonello, the first author. Thanks again, Valentina, and best wishes.
Oh, thanks to you, really appreciate it.